You see, there is an illusion, and it's just an illusion, of righteousness in religion. This illusion, you know what it does? It carries a Bible, and it carries a big Bible. It's usually a big black Bible. It quotes scripture, and it speaks in spiritual cliches. Yet it is without power because it is only a facade. It's only on the outside. It's a mirage. There is no substance on the inside. It is one way at church and another way at home. It is a legalistic spell that repels others rather than attracts them. And it therefore has no ministry. You ever meet somebody like that? They quote scripture, they carry a Bible, spiritual cliches, but they have no ministry. You know why? People can't stand them. They can't stand to be around them. It's all a facade. It's a show. They're one way at church in front of people, and they're another way at home. There's no substance. It's a spell. It's a spell that comes upon even religious people. It's an illusion.
Greetings, brothers and sisters in the Lord. We welcome you to the podcast of Calvary Chapel Echo Park here in Los Angeles, California. To find out more about our fellowship, please visit us online at ccechopark.com. And now let's humbly turn our eyes to our Father in heaven as we open His Word. We will be in the New Testament book of Matthew. Let's join Pastor David Higa with the teaching as we set our hearts and minds on the Lord.
Verse 33, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, the intent, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is His footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Nor shall, verse 36, nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. I want you to mark that. Verse 38. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. This is the law of retribution. But I tell you, not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. Verse 40, for if anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Verse 42, give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. And now the law to love thy neighbor. Verse 43, you have heard that it was said, the letter of the law, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you the intent, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than the others? Than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. I guess you can count me out, huh? What about you? Think about it. You see the buildup here, right? Now, I know this is kind of going out of the normal way of teaching, but I'd like to actually draw your attention firstly to our last verse, 48. And then we'll begin to look at verse 33 in the parts, right? Verse 48 says this, therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, I want you to notice this drives home the very important point. This is a very important point. Verse 48 drives us home that there is a vast difference between the letter of the law and its intent. Now, this is what we've been covering thus far, but this really drives that point home. And we're going to see this morning that the critical factor in this difference between the letter and grace, the letter and the intent, is grace, right? But the difference, the fundamental difference between the letter of the law and the intent of the law, it is grace, unmerited favor. This is what we're really going to hone in on this morning. Only grace can move us in the direction of right intention. It is only grace that can do that. Now, the thing about grace is that it is oftentimes misunderstood or entirely missed, and even by the most religious people. You ever notice that? Grace? It's missed by sometimes the most religious people. The scribes and the Pharisees were such people. They knew Scripture, yet they were the most difficult to reach and to teach. They quoted the law and the commandments verbatim, and yet they missed its intent entirely. But you know, it's the same today. You can observe that today, even in the churches. You know, learnedness of Scripture does not necessarily mean godliness of character. It is, in fact, the other way around, isn't it? You know, it begins with character, doesn't it? Beatitude character. We saw this a few weeks ago, the beginning of Matthew chapter 5. And then God follows with beatitude blessings. Remember that? God's blessings are upon what? The poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, the one who hungers and thirsts for righteousness, the merciful, pure in heart, the peacemaker, not the troublemaker. Right? And one who stands firm when he's persecuted. Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 12. You see, godly character is the salt and light to a watered down and dark world. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Remember, we read this. You know, these character qualities are the charisma of grace. And God fulfills his perfect work for us, in us, and through us by this grace, not by law. You have heard that it was said of old, you shall not murder. That's the letter of the law. But I say unto you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. That's the intent of the law. You see, God's intent is to live a life without anger, which is the spirit of his law. You know, without anger, we'll have without murder, right? Without anger, there's no murder. The intent of the law, it just rocks the letter of the law, doesn't it? God's aim is to sow, through grace, a right heart on the inside. You take care of the heart on the inside, the actions on the outside will follow. For by grace, Paul wrote, you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. Now, I want you to notice this in this Ephesians passage, that grace, it saves, verses 8 and 9, and grace, it sanctifies, verse 10. You see, God's grace is his perfect work for us, in us, and through us. And that work can never be substituted by human effort and trying harder. Grace is relational. You must receive it. You have to receive the gift to use the gift. And so as we come into the Lord's presence through worship, prayer, fellowship, and personally partaking of his word, the Holy Spirit does a work in us. He sanctifies us and sets us apart. He molds and shapes us into the image of Jesus. And he fulfills his law in our spirit-filled and changed lives. You see, the Lord does the work in us and through us and for us. We don't do the work. He does the work. Who has cast an evil spell on you, Paul wrote. For the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law? It's a good question, huh? You know what the answer is? Of course not. Paul answers it for us. You received the Spirit because you believed the message you heard about Christ. How foolish can you be? After starting your Christian lives in the Spirit, why are you trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. I wrote this or quoted this in the NLT version because it's a little bit more direct. But you know what? Grace breaks that spell. Grace breaks the spell of religious hypocrisy. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets, Jesus said. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. You see, Jesus upholds the law, but the intent of the law he fulfills. And that's what he desires for us. It's by grace. Grace is God's perfect work for us, in us, and through us. It takes us from the letter of the law to its intent. Now, let's look at this next law. It's the law of making oaths. Should we make oaths? You know, Jesus forbids it. The letter of the law says, hey, go ahead and make an oath. But you know, Jesus forbids it because he's looking at the intent. Now, let me read from verse 33. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say unto you, the intent, do not swear at all. Neither by heaven, for it's God's throne, nor by the earth stool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Now, I want you to notice the word again. Notice that? It begins with again. Jesus, he's using repetition to stress the obvious. Repetition. It's a good way to teach, right? And it's to stress the obvious that the intent of the law is the goal. It is the primary objective. The intent is the objective. It's the goal. And it is, in fact, very obvious, or at least it should be. Once again, you have heard that it was said. Notice, once again. Let me repeat it to you. That the important thing is the intent of the law, not the letter. You know, it really is quite true that, you know, when we focus on every jot and tittle of detail, not just in the law, not just in Scripture, but in anything, you ever notice this when you're so much inundated with detail, you know what happens? That's oftentimes you miss the obvious. You ever notice that? It's like the person who is texting and then walks into a ditch. So occupied with the detail that, you know what, he doesn't know where he's going. Walks into a ditch. You see, there is not a need to swear by anything and sign any kind of contract or make any kind of oath if you simply do the obvious and tell the truth. Understand? How do we miss that? Why do you have to get in so much detail, in the minutia detail of a contract of making promise? You ever meet somebody like that? Well, I swear. I swear upon this. I promise. Why do you need to do that? If you just tell the truth, your yes be yes and your no, no. You see, Jesus said this, the intent. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. Now, can you imagine how the details in the law will be omitted, can be omitted if we simply tell the truth? Can you imagine? If everyone simply told the truth, do you need law? No! What did Paul say? The law is for the lawless, right? Those that don't tell the truth. But if we just let our yes be yes and our no, no, that's the intent of the law, that you tell the truth, that you live the truth, that you show the truth, that you're not a facade, that you're not something different at church than you are at home. That's the intent of the law, isn't it? Can you see how the power in the law's intent is much more? You know, with right intent, the letter goes away because it is fulfilled in the intent. And you always have to wonder, right, when someone has to swear by anything anyway. Right? Think about it. Somebody comes to you, I swear that's true. I promise. I double promise. I triple promise. You think, what's going on? Why do you have to do that? Isn't your yes, yes, your no, no? Aren't you good on your word? Isn't the word good enough in you? But you know what the unfortunate reality is? It is not. Which is why we have so many laws and lawsuits in the courts. Think about it. If our yes is yes and our no, no, do we need any law? Do we need any courts? Hey, do we need any lawyers? You know, you can save a lot of money without lawyers, right? If we're just honest. If we just let our yes be yes and our no, no. But when you meet someone that you truly can trust, their word is good. Huh? Their yes is yes and their no, no. You do not need any oath or signed contract. Their word is worthy, which saves us a lot of time and energy and money. Now, I want you to lastly notice this at the end of verse 37. Let me read verse 37 again. But let your yes be yes and your no, no, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Notice that? Whatever is more than these, from you just saying yes, when it's yes and no, no, for you just being honest, anything more than this is from the devil. Remember God's word? He says it's love always, what? Trust. But you know what Satan's desire is? Is that we do not trust. And it is in the mistrust of one another that Satan does his greatest work. It's when we don't trust each other, that's when Satan comes in and destroys. That's why Jesus said, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one. You know, if we make it a point to have our yes be yes and our no, no, if our word is good enough to simply give and receive without oaths or swearing upon anything or anyone, you know what's going to happen? The devil's going to flee. You know why? Because he has no deceit or no gossip to fuel himself upon. Think about it. What fuels the devil? It's deceit. Darkness. It's gossip. If your yes is yes and your no is no, if you're good on your word, the devil has to flee. There's nothing for him to live on. He lives on your deceit, my deceit. He lives on our half-truths. You know how he does? He takes them and he separates and he divides. And then we need to what? A mediator. Get a mediator. We need a contract. We need an oath. We need to swear. See, anything in addition to your yes being yes and your no, no, is from the evil one. The intent of the law is your words must be truthful. Yes, yes, and no, no. Now, let's look at the law of retribution. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Retribution, you know what God says? Is don't worry about it. That's what he says. That's the intent of the law. Now, let's read. Verse 30 says, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I tell you not to resist an evil person." Now, this is the thrust of his teaching. I want you to highlight that. "But I tell you," the intent of the law, "is not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also." Verse 40, "If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also." Verse 41, "And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too." Grace, huh? Isn't it? It's grace. "Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away." Now, this is one that clearly underscores grace, unmerited favor. You know, it reminds me of when Jesus was on the cross and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Remember that? You know, the Spirit also moved Stephen in a similar manner, under similar circumstances, Acts chapter 7, when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But I want you to notice this, that the former, when Jesus did this on the cross, it set the course of faith for Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, two religious leaders, Pharisees of Israel. And the latter, when Stephen said the same as he was being stoned, the latter, it set the course of faith for who? Remember Saul of Tarsus? He was the one instigating this stoning. He was actually collecting all the cloaks of those that were throwing the stones, cheering them on. Remember that? And so this act of grace of Stephen set the course of faith for Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul. You know the name Paul means? Little one. Isn't that interesting? And Paul ended up writing most of your New Testament. Conversion. You see the conversion through grace? You see, the letter of the law of retribution and its intent are vastly different. Actually, they have hugely different results. When we go the extra mile, under challenging circumstances, and even under persecution, the beatitude of blessing is oftentimes a converted soul. Now, how good is that? We see that in Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. We see that as well in Saul of Tarsus. A sacrifice in our own temporal life to gain eternal life for another. You know, that's the high calling and one that Jesus himself fulfilled, and also Stephen. Grace, unmerited favor, is a powerful tool that God uses to bring salvation to others. Grace changes everything if we would allow it to work in us and through us. Grace is the centerpiece of God's intent in the law. Grace, it's the center of it. If you want to know God's intent, know God's grace. Unmerited favor. Now, one final note on this law. You know, just to be clear. Now, Jesus is not teaching that a physical attack like a slap in the face cannot be resisted. He's not saying that. I want you to pay attention to the greater context. And the real point of this matter is not resisting an evil person. Right at verse 39. That's the fundamental point. That is the real issue and the goal of the law. It's to bring an evil person to repentance and salvation. That's really God's intent. And he does that through grace, not through law. You see, the intent of the law of retribution is conversion, not retaliation and conviction. The intent of the law of retribution is to convert that evil person. And that's what happened to Saul of Tarsus. That's what happened to Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea. That's what happens to your enemies. As your retribution is grace, not the law. You understand the power of the intent? Remember that the law is our tutor to bring us and others to Christ. Now, let's look at, finally, the law of loving your neighbor. You know what Jesus says? Hey, go one further. Love your enemy. That's the intent. Verse 43 says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. The letter of the law. But I say unto you, the intent, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Verse 45, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Verse 46, for if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Now, this one also underscores God's grace, doesn't it? His unmerited favor. You see, it is God's grace that ministers to the one in the wrong. You see, when somebody's in the wrong, I got to tell you, it's not the letter of the law that ministers to them. It's the intent of the law. It's God's grace. Unmerited favor peels back the blinders so one can see the cross. Because the ultimate act of grace is the cross. The ultimate act of grace is the cross. And by you showing grace, it allows an unbeliever to see the cross.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Calvary Chapel Echo Park podcast. If you are in the LA area, you are invited to fellowship with us. We are a simple and small church with humble hearts, serving a mighty and magnificent God. If you need prayer, please reach out to us and we will pray for you. Visit us online at ccechopark.com. To God be the glory.